Hello, everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today, we are going to be turning Amelia Earhart into a D&D character. How fun is that? Very. Now, Amelia has a very long and well-documented history, so I'm not gonna go into the whole history of Amelia Earhart, because there's a lot. So I'm going to talk about from when she started flying. So Amelia and her friend visited an air fair held in conjunction with the Canadian National Exhibition in Toronto. And Amelia says that the interest aroused in me in Toronto led me to all the air circuses in the vicinity. So she wasn't wholly enamored with flight and aviation before this. And she says one of the highlights of the day was a flying exhibition put on by World War I ace. And now an ace, I thought it was just like, oh, they're an ace pilot. They're just really good at flying. But an ace is actually a military aviator credited with shooting down 5 or more enemy aircraft during aerial combat. And the exact number of aerial victories that an aviator has to have to officially qualify as an ace is varied, but it's usually considered to be 5 or more. So when you hear an ace pilot, they've shot down 5 or more enemy aircraft. But anyway, the pilot flying for this exhibition, this ace, spotted Amelia and her friend, who were watching from an isolated clearing, and he dived at them. And Amelia says, I'm sure he said to himself, watch me make them scamper. But Amelia stood her ground as the aircraft came close, and she says, I did not understand at the time, but I believe that little red airplane said something to me as it swished by. So really opening up her interest in flying and becoming an aviator. On December 28th, 1920, so when Amelia was 23, her and her father attended an aerial meet in Long Beach, California, and she asked her father, Edwin, to ask about passenger flights and flying lessons. So for $10, she booked a 10-minute flight with Frank Hawks, who later gained fame as an air racer. And Hawks gave her a ride that would forever change Amelia's life. She's saying, by the time I had got 200 or 300 feet off the ground, I knew I had to fly. So really quickly, she's like, okay, this is the best thing ever. I'm totally doing it. And the next month, Amelia recruited Snooky to be her flying instructor. Not the Jersey Shore Snooky, but Mary Anita Snook, nicknamed Netta, but also nicknamed Snooky. And Netta Snook's already very famous in the aviatrix community, I guess. She was the first woman aviator in Iowa, first woman student accepted at the Curtis Flying School in Virginia, first woman aviator to run her own aviation business, just all this stuff. Snooky's awesome. So Amelia worked a variety of different jobs, like a photographer, a truck driver, a stenographer, and managed to save $1,000 for flying lessons. And part of the $1,000 was money invested by her mother. Amelia's mother said she provided some of the money against her better judgment. But I think that's sweet. She's like, you know what? My daughter can do literally anything. Sure, she can be a pilot. That's awesome. Amelia kept her hair cropped short because that was kind of the style of the female flyers of that time, short cropped hair. On October 22nd, 1922, Amelia flew a plane she had bought, nicknamed the Canary, to an altitude of 14,000 feet, or 4,300 meters, which set a world record for female pilots. And on May 16th, 1923, Amelia became the 16th woman in the United States to be issued a pilot's license by the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, or the FAI. Now, unfortunately, Amelia had to sell her plane, the Canary, because she made some pretty terrible investments. One particular disastrous investment in a failed gypsum mine. So Amelia's finances quickly diminished. She had to sell her plane, and she knew she needed a little bit of a change. So Amelia went to Columbia University for several months, but she had to abandon her studies and any further plans for enrolling at MIT because her mom could no longer afford the tuition fees and associated costs. So Amelia, very, very smart woman, loved to read, loved science, so wanted to go to MIT, but couldn't afford it. So then she became a teacher and then a social worker, but she maintained her interest in aviation, and she actually became a member of the American Aeronautical Society's Boston chapter, and she was eventually elected its vice president. Amelia also flew the first official flight out of Denison Airport in Quincy, Massachusetts in 1927. So she was getting some good publicity. She also wrote local newspaper columns promoting flying, and she was something of a local celebrity here. Her name was beginning to become known. After Charles Lindbergh's solo flight across the Atlantic in 1927, a woman, Amy Guest, expressed interest in being the first woman to fly or be flown across the Atlantic Ocean. She decided the trip was too perilous for her to undertake, so she instead offered to sponsor the project, suggesting that they find another girl with the right image. Of course, this girl with the right image was none other than Amelia Earhart. So she accompanied pilot Wilmer Stultz to fly across the Atlantic to South Wales, a flight that was 20 hours and 40 minutes. And this transatlantic flight, Amelia didn't actually fly at all. She was just a passenger. Stultz did all the flying. Amelia says, "I was just baggage like a sack of potatoes." But then she added, "Maybe someday I'll try it alone." So as of now, she was the first woman to be flown across the Atlantic, and her celebrity status ballooned now. She was greeted with a ticker tape parade along the Canyon of Heroes in Manhattan, which was followed by a reception with President Calvin Coolidge at the White House, the then president of the United States of America. You know that. Anyway, now the first man to fly across the Atlantic in a solo flight was named Charles Lindbergh, and the press dubbed him Lucky Lindy. And apparently, Amelia had a physical resemblance to Lindbergh, so she was referred to as Lady Lindy. But the United Press gave a different name to Amelia, saying that she was the reigning Queen of the Air. And that was her nickname, Queen of the Air. What a badass nickname! Oh my god, I can't get over it. Oh, nice to meet you. I'm Amelia Earhart, Queen of the Air. Backhand. Ugh. Love it. Now, Amelia kept this celebrity thing going. She did a whole lecture tour, 1928, 1929. She got a book she authored published by a man named Putnam. She made endorsements for luggage and women's clothing. And all these endorsements and everything helped Amelia to finance her flying. She eventually accepted a position as associate editor at Cosmopolitan magazine, and she turned this forum into an opportunity to campaign for greater public acceptance of aviation, especially focusing on the role of women entering the field. And in 1929, Amelia was among the first aviators to promote commercial air travel through the development of a passenger airline service. Along with Charles Lindbergh, she represented Transcontinental Air Transport. She was vice president of National Airways, and by 1940, that company became Northeast Airlines. And Northeast Airlines in 1972 was acquired by and merged into Delta Airlines. So she is doing stuff, making great strides in the field of aviation and just the field of, you know, science for women. Her publisher, George Putnam, and Amelia spent a great deal of time together, and Putnam proposed to Amelia 6 times before she finally agreed to marry him. And Amelia's views on marriage were extremely liberal at the time. She wrote a letter to him, hand-delivered it to him on the day of the wedding, and she wrote, "I want you to understand, I shall not hold you to any medieval code of faithfulness to me, nor shall I consider myself bound to you similarly." She continued, "I may have to keep some place where I can go to be by myself now and then, for I cannot guarantee to endure at all times the confinement of even an attractive cage." So she's like, this is a dual partnership. and she often referred to her marriage as a partnership with dual control. She insisted, you know, both breadwinners should have equal responsibility in this relationship. You know, she's not gonna stay home and cook all the time, nor would she ask him to. This was also a very liberal marriage at the time, because she kept her last name. She didn't become Mrs. Putnam. She stayed as, you know, Amelia Earhart. On May 20th, 1932, 34-year-old Amelia Earhart set off from Harbor Grace, Newfoundland, and intended to fly to Paris to emulate Charles Lindbergh's solo flight 5 years earlier. After a flight lasting 14 hours, 56 minutes, during which she contended with strong northerly winds, icy conditions, and mechanical problems, Amelia landed in a pasture at Colmore, north of Derry, Northern Ireland. When a farmhand asked, "Have you flown far?" Amelia replied, "From America." So she was the first woman to be flown across the Atlantic, and was now the first woman to fly solo, nonstop, across the Atlantic. Amelia received the Distinguished Flying Cross from Congress, the Cross of Knight of the Legion of Honor from the French government, and the Gold Medal of the National Geographic Society from President Herbert Hoover. So Amelia's freaking famous now, okay? And she began to develop friendships with many people in high offices, including First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, and the two of them became very good friends and communicated frequently because they shared a lot of interests and passions, especially women's causes. And what I found to be pretty humorous is Eleanor Roosevelt flew with Amelia, and after flying with Amelia, Eleanor Roosevelt obtained a student permit, but she did not further pursue her plans to learn to fly. I just think that's funny. One flight with Amelia Earhart, and you're like, you know what? This is actually sick as hell. I could totally see myself flying. Early in 1936, Amelia started planning a round-the-world flight. And she wouldn't be the first person to do this. Others had flown around the world, but she planned her flight to be the longest at 29,000 miles or 47,000 kilometers because her route would roughly follow the equator, so the thickest part of the globe. She made her first attempt on March 17th, 1937, and she flew the first leg from Oakland, California to Honolulu, Hawaii. But there were some problems with the aircraft, and it needed servicing in Hawaii, and ultimately, the flight was called off. For the second attempt, in Miami, Florida, Amelia publicly announced her plans to circumnavigate the globe. And everyone's like, holy shit, this is amazing. So on this second flight, Fred Noonan was Earhart's only crew member, a navigator. And the pair departed Miami on June 1st, made numerous stops in South America, Africa, the Indian subcontinent, and Southeast Asia, and arrived at Lae, New Guinea on June 29th, 1937. So already 28 days, they've flown 22,000 miles, or 35,000 kilometers. There were only 7,000 miles left, or 11,000 kilometers, but this flight would be over the Pacific Ocean. On July 2nd, 1937, at 10 in the morning, Amelia and Noonan took off from Lae Airfield, and their intended destination was Howland Island, which is a flat, uninhabited coral island just north of the equator in the central Pacific Ocean. Because the Pacific's a goddamn big ocean, okay? You gotta bring the plane down for a rest. Now, to get to Howland Island, the U.S. Coast Guard had sent a ship, the USCGC Itasca, to the island. And this was so the radio equipment in Amelia's plane could hone in on the Itasca and locate the island. Because when you're so high up, it's gonna be really damn hard to see a little island that you need to stop at. So they were hoping to use radio equipment to home in on the location. And the Itasca was on station at Howland, obviously to guide Amelia to the island once she arrives in the vicinity. Through a series of misunderstandings or errors, details of which are still controversial, no one really knows for sure what happened. The final approach to Howland Island using radio navigation failed. Noonan had earlier written about problems affecting the accuracy of radio direction finding and navigation. Others cited that the cause of possible confusion was that the Itasca and Amelia planned their communications schedule using time systems set an hour apart. There's all this technical stuff that I truly do not understand, and I don't care to learn. But the result of these problems was that Itasca could hear Amelia's signals, but Amelia couldn't hear the Itasca. A call at around 7:30 a.m. states, Amelia on, now says running out of gas, only half hour left, can't hear us at all. We hear her and are sending on 3,105 and 500, same time, constantly. So they're sending out these radio signals, these calls to try to tune into the aircraft's frequency. There was no way for them to communicate with Amelia. Another radio log on Itasca at 7:42 a.m. states, Amelia's plane calling Itasca, we must be on you but cannot see you, but gas is running low, been unable to reach you by radio, we're flying at 1,000 feet. 7:58 a.m. Amelia said she could not hear the Itasca and asked them to send voice signals so she could try to take a radio bearing. They couldn't send voice at the frequency she asked for, so they used Morse code signals, and Amelia could receive those Morse code signals, but she couldn't use them to determine the direction. They didn't help. And it's not like the Itasca can say, yeah, just head northwest, you're fine, when they also can't determine the location of Amelia's plane. Anyway, in her last known transmission at 8:43 a.m., Amelia broadcasts, we are on the line 157337. We will repeat this message. We will repeat this on 6,210 kilocycles. Wait. However, a few moments later, she was back on the same frequency, 3105 kilohertz, with a transmission that was logged as questionable. We are running on line north and south. And Amelia's transmission seemed to indicate that her and her navigator Noonan believed they had reached Howland's charted position, which was incorrect, by about 5 nautical miles, or 10 kilometers. The Itasca tried to use their oil-fired boilers to generate smoke, so that, you know, potentially Amelia and Noonan could see this sign, but apparently they did not. Approximately 1 hour after Amelia's last recorded message, the Itasca undertook an ultimately unsuccessful search north and west of Howland Island based on initial assumptions about transmissions from the aircraft. The United States Navy soon joined the search, and over a period of 3 days sent available resources to the search area in the vicinity of Howland Island. Later search efforts were directed to the Phoenix Islands south of Howland Island. Official search efforts lasted until July 19, 1937. Costing $4 million, the air and sea search by the Navy and Coast Guard was the most costly and intensive in U.S. history up to that time. But search and rescue techniques for that era were not great. Let's say. A lot of the search was just based on assumptions and flawed information. Despite this unprecedented search by the US, no physical evidence of Amelia, of Noonan, or of Amelia's plane was found. Immediately after the end of the official search, Putnam, Amelia's husband, financed a private search by local authorities of nearby Pacific islands and waters. Putnam acted to become the trustee of Amelia's estate so that he could pay for the searches and related bills. So Putnam requested to have the declared death in absentia 7-year waiting period waived so that he could manage Amelia's finances and use them to try to find her. So as a result of having this waiting period waived, Amelia was declared legally dead on January 5th, 1939. Now, there's a ton of speculation on the Queen of Air's disappearance, but no one knows what happened. There are all of these theories that they couldn't find Howland Island, so they turned to a different island. Others that she simply ran out of fuel and landed in the ocean. Some theories that she was shot down or captured by the Japanese. All of these theories, but no one knows for sure what happened. There are some things that I read, people claim to know for sure that this is what happened to Amelia Earhart, but I can never find supporting evidence of those claims, so Anyway, that's Amelia Earhart. That is her backstory as an aviator. I mean, there's a lot more about her backstory. I started talking about her history when she was in her 20s, but you know, she had a childhood. Anyway, now that we know a bit about Amelia's backstory, let's pick her background as a D&D character. So I'm looking at backgrounds, and wouldn't you know it, none of the backgrounds give proficiency in sky vehicles. It's all land vehicles and water vehicles. I don't want none of that. I want her to be able to fly. Anyway, so I think because we can't give her that, we're going to go in a different direction. And we are going to go with the background Hermit. Because I didn't say this in her backstory because, oh my god, it's so much. But as a child, she was homeschooled. She spent a lot of the time in the family barn just reading, doing a lot of study for herself. You know, her and her sister would go out a lot and just, like, collect bugs and worms and frogs and read and learn. So I think Hermit is more reflective of that than other backgrounds are. So, as a hermit, she gains proficiency in medicine and religion, tool proficiencies in an herbalism kit, and a language of her choice. I love that. Also not included in her backstory, but she worked as a nurse's aide during World War I and during the Spanish flu in 1918. So, having proficiency in medicine, perfect! Now let's pick Amelia's race. I'm tempted to just go with Aarakocra because they can fly or something else with a fly speed, but I don't think we're going to start with her being able to fly. I think that's something she's going to learn how to do later. So if she's going to be getting that ability later, I think I might just make her a variant human. I feel like I haven't done that in a while, even though it's usually my go-to. So, she's going to gain proficiency in one skill of her choice and gain one feat of her choice. So what skill do we think makes sense for Amelia Earhart? I think I'm going to say acrobatics. Is, you know, aerial acrobatics, aviation acrobatics, it's a thing. Anyway, and a feat. So, I think I'm going to go with... What if I just give her the acrobat feat? I mean, I could. Should I do that? Maybe. Let's look at some others. You know what? I like the idea of acrobat. I'm looking at others, and I think I found some that we can give her later. But starting an acrobat, that's just fun. Amelia Earhart, a born acrobat. That's what she's known for, obviously. So as an acrobat, her dexterity is going to increase by 1, and she's going to gain proficiency in acrobatics. I know what you're thinking, but Zach, she's already proficient in acrobatics. Shut up. Yes, but now she can add double her proficiency bonus to checks she makes with it, so she has expertise in acrobatics. Also, as a bonus action, she can make a DC 15 acrobatics check, and if she succeeds, difficult terrain won't cost her extra movement until the end of the current turn. So that's pretty cool, starting with the acrobat feat. Beautiful. Now that we have her background hermit and her race human variant, we can roll for stats. Now that's when you take a D6, a 6-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining 3 to get one of the 6 ability scores. So we're going to do that 6 times. Alright, so I rolled for our girl Amelia, and she did fine. Fairly average rolls. So she got 15, 12, 12, 11, 13, and 13. So not great, but also not bad. So we're going to slot those in where we think they should go. I think our highest stat is going to be intelligence. So we are going to put that 15 into intelligence. Because again, she was very smart. She was a smart cookie. She had a ton of jobs where she had to use that big old brain of hers. Went to Columbia University for a little while and even planned to go to MIT before, you know, her mom ran out of money and couldn't afford it. So I think intelligence is going to be the highest. Next, we have 2 13s. I think I'm going to put those into dexterity and wisdom. She already gets a +1 to dexterity from the acrobat feat, so that's going to be bumped up to a 14. Next is 2 12s. I'm going to do constitution and charisma. And then an 11 is the lowest. Let's put that in strength. So now as a human variant, she gets 2 +1s where she can put wherever she wants. So I'm going to say put them in intelligence and wisdom to bring those to a 16 and a 14 respectively. Amelia's starting stats are 11 strength, 14 dexterity, 12 constitution, 16 intelligence, 14 wisdom, and 12 charisma. Not the worst we've had on here. So, all right. Now let's pick what class we think she is going to start in. Let's see. I'm gonna start with cleric. No. Yes. No. Yes. We're starting with cleric. I have decreed it! So, first level cleric, she gains proficiency in light armor, medium armor, and shields, with all simple weapons, and with wisdom and charisma saving throws. She's also going to gain proficiency in 2 skills of her choice from history, insight, medicine, persuasion, and religion. She already has medicine and religion, so I'm going to say insight and persuasion. Why not? I think insight and persuasion really help with the, you know, kind of fighting against the patriarchy, trying to get more women into the fields of aviation and into the fields of science. I think insight could help her to make those speeches, and persuasion to help her give those speeches and write those articles and stories for women to read and become inspired by. So clerics, guess what? They are spellcasters. So her spellcasting ability is wisdom, and her spell save DC, or what a target has to equal or beat to resist the effects of Amelia's spells, is 8 plus Amelia's proficiency bonus plus her wisdom modifier. Wisdom modifier is not great. It's only +2. Proficiency bonus at first level is also +2, so that's a spell save DC of 12 and a spell attack modifier of +4. Both of those aren't very good, but that's okay. I'm fine with that. First level in cleric, she's going to get her divine domain or the cleric subclass. I think we're going to go with the knowledge domain because you get such a good thing at first level. So first of all, she's going to learn the spells command and identify, which good for her, but also she gets blessings of knowledge. So she learns 2 languages of her choice. Oh, and I forgot to put in languages. Okay. Let's do that. So from being a human variant, she knows common. From being a hermit, she has an additional 1 of her choice, and now knowledge domain is another 2. So let's do common, elvish, dwarvish, and Orin. Orin being the language spoken by air elementals. Because if she's going to be spending a lot of time in the sky, she's got to have some conversations, right? Yes! But also from the Blessings of Knowledge feature, she's going to become proficient in her choice of 2 of the following skills: Arcana, History, Nature, or Religion. And I think for this Amelia, we're going to go Arcana, because D&D doesn't really have like a tech skill. So I know a lot of people use Arcana in place of that, just understanding how things work, Arcana or History. But we're not going to do history. We're going to do Arcana and Nature. Because like I said, Amelia played outside in the woods a lot when she was a little kid, hunting rats with a rifle and doing other stuff. I don't know. That's just something that stuck out to me. Child with a rifle hunting rats. But anyway, Arcana and Nature proficiencies. Ho, but that's not all. Additionally, her proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check she makes that uses Arcana or Nature. So, boom, expertise in Arcana and Nature. That is so sick. So, first level, she has 7 skill proficiencies and expertise in 3 of them. I love that, Amelia. Why are you so good at everything, girl? This is great. I'm friggin' queen of the air. All right, second level, we're going to multiclass. I think we got everything we need out of cleric. I really do. I think just a little bit of spell casting and those languages and proficiencies, we've gotten plenty. So let's multiclass. Let's see, she has high dexterity, high intelligence. I think we're gonna do something dexterity based. How about a monk? Well, let's see. I think we're gonna go with Artificer. Yeah. Nice. So as an artificer, she's going to get a load of goodies. She's going to gain proficiency with thieves' tools and tinker's tools. Makes a lot of sense as a woman of science. First level artificer, she is going to gain magical tinkering. So now she can invest a spark of magic into mundane objects. So she can just touch a tiny non-magical object as an action and give it a magical property. There are a few different ones. She can make it shed bright light. She can have it emit a recorded message. It can emit an odor or nonverbal sound. A static visual effect can appear. And the amount of objects she can imbue with this magic is equal to her intelligence modifier. So she can have 3 effects going on different items. So that's fun. Just kind of like a little magical trick. She also has spellcasting, because artificers are spellcasters. But their spellcasting ability is intelligence, not wisdom, that cleric uses. So their spell save DC is 8 plus proficiency bonus plus intelligence modifier, or a 13. And her spell attack modifier is plus 5. So just a little bit better than cleric. Third level, we're going to go second in Artificer, where she learns infusions. There are a bunch of infusions. She's going to know 4 of them to start, and she's going to learn additional infusions as she levels up in Artificer. But when she finishes a long rest, she can touch a non-magical object and imbue it with some magic. So some of the basic ones, she can give a +1 to attack rolls and damage, a +1 to armor class, stuff like that. But that's really cool. She can do 2 infusions at once, so she can just increase her attack and her defense. Boom. Love it. How simple is that? Now, I think we are good in Artificer. I was thinking of taking it to level 3 in Artificer, but I don't think any of the subclasses for Artificer are fitting. So we're gonna move on to something else. And we are going to move on to Wizard. First level in Wizard. We are all over the place with Amelia, and I love it. So as a first level wizard, hey, look at that. She has spellcasting. Of course, she's a wizard. And she's going to use intelligence, just like Artificer. So spell save DC is going to be 13, spell attack modifier is going to be +5. Still not very good, but once we get some ability score improvements, we'll be able to increase that a bit. So first level wizard, she's also going to gain arcane recovery. So once a day when she finishes a short rest, she can choose expended spell slots to recover that have a combined level equal to or less than half her wizard level rounded up. So what that means is she's a first level wizard. If she takes a short rest, she can get back 1 first level spell slot. Pretty cool, pretty cool. Second level in wizard, 5th overall, she's going to gain an arcane tradition or a wizard subclass. And I think we're going to go with graviturgy. So graviturgy is, you know, the magic and energy of gravity. And I thought, what is better than an aviator to be able to manipulate gravity? How freaking cool is that? So at second level, as a gravity magic wizard, she's going to gain adjust density. So now as an action, she can magically alter the weight of 1 object or creature she can see within 30 feet of her. The target's weight is halved or doubled for up to 1 minute or until Amelia's concentration ends, as if she were concentrating on a spell. So while the weight of creature is halved by this effect, the creature's speed increased by 10 feet, it can jump twice as far as normal, and it has disadvantage on strength checks and strength saving throws. So makes someone light and nimble, but a little weaker. And while the weight is doubled, it just has the opposite effect. The creature's speed is reduced by 10 feet, and it has advantage on strength checks and saving throws. I think that's pretty cool. She can be like, oh, I need to move fast. Let me just halve my weight. Or, oh, I need to do something that I need a lot of strength for. Let me just double my weight. That's fun. That is fun for me. Third level in wizard, 6th overall, she's just going to gain access to second level wizard spells. 4th level in wizard, 7th overall, that's an ability score improvement. So I think we're going to bump that intelligence from a 16 to an 18, which is now a +4 modifier. And that is going to help her wizard and artificer spellcasting. I think the levels in cleric and artificer are helpful because they have access to healing spells while the wizard base class does not. So yeah, she can manipulate gravity and she can heal, whatever, she's awesome. Fifth level in wizard, eighth overall, that's access to third level wizard spells. And that is where she will get the spell fly. So now she can target herself and have a 60-foot fly speed with this spell. Very cool. So now she can fly. And the adjust density ability doesn't say walking speed is increased or decreased. It's just their speed. So if she adjusts her density to have her weight, she'll have a flying speed of 70 feet. That's pretty freaking cool. Sixth level in wizard, ninth overall, that's going to be another subclass feature from Graviturgy Magic called Gravity Well. So now whenever Amelia casts a spell on a creature, she can move the target 5 feet to an unoccupied space of her choice if the target is willing to move, the spell hits it with an attack, or if it fails a saving throw against the spell. That is awesome. So if she hits a creature with a scorching ray, she can just pull the target 5 feet. That's fun. Gravity magic is pretty awesome. Seventh level in wizard, 10th overall. That's going to give her access to 4th level wizard spells. 8th level in wizard, 11th overall. Another ability score improvement, and I say we max out her intelligence, right? That would be the best move? Or should we increase wisdom? But are we going to go back to cleric? I don't think so. Okay, let's max out intelligence. So that is 20 intelligence, a plus 5 modifier. This is a reality where, you know, maybe she was able to go to MIT. She was able to become a badass scientist or engineer or do any number of really cool things. Let's do 9th level in wizard, 12th overall. She's going to gain access to 5th level wizard spells. That's cool. Now she can use the spell Control Winds to, get this, Control Wind. Who needs to worry about turbulence when your pilot can manipulate wind and gravity? That's so cool. 10th level in wizard, 13th overall. Another arcane tradition feature that is going to be the ability Violent Attraction. I love that name, Violent Attraction. So when another creature that Amelia can see within 60 feet of her hits with a weapon attack, she can use her reaction to increase the attack's velocity, causing the attack's target to take an extra 1d10 damage of the weapon's type. That is so cool! Alternatively, if a creature within 60 feet of Amelia takes damage from a fall, she can use her reaction to increase the fall's damage by 2d10. And she can use that feature a number of times equal to her intelligence modifier per long rest. So 5 times per long rest. That is awesome. She can, oh man, okay, picture this. She uses fly on herself, uses adjust density to double her weight, which would reduce her speed by 10, but she'll have advantage on strength checks. So she'll be able to grapple a creature, move it up to half her speed, 25 feet, and then just drop them. So that would be 2d6 damage, but she can just increase the damage by 2d10. So without even attacking, she can deal an average of 18 damage to a creature. That's fun. Anyway, I think I am going to go back to Artificer. So 14th level, 1 in Cleric, 3 in Artificer now, and 10 in Wizard. She is going to gain an Artificer subclass, and we're going to go with Alchemist. And the reason I'm going with Alchemist, I mean, you know, there's nothing that says Amelia Earhart was good with chemistry or anything like this. It's just a small tie-in to her naming a twin-engine monoplane her flying laboratory. And whenever I think of laboratory, I think of, like, potions and stuff. That's the connection. That's it. Nothing... nothing specific, nothing more specific than that. But yeah, so as an alchemist, she's going to gain proficiency with alchemist supplies, and she's going to gain some alchemist spells, Healing Word and Ray of Sickness, as well as the Experimental Elixir. So whenever Amelia finishes a long rest, she's going to roll a d6 and create an experimental elixir based on the roll that she got. She can also expend spell slots of first level or higher to create other elixirs with specific effects. So the reason I wanted to go with Alchemist is because there's one that is Flight, where the drinker will gain a flying speed of 10 feet for 10 minutes, which isn't great, but just the names of the potions, swiftness, resilience, boldness. And I think Amelia Earhart was, you know, resilient and bold. And she's set some records for women's air racing. So swiftness is fitting too. Healing, she was a nurse's aide. I think these titles are great for her. We're going to go fourth level in Alchemist, which is 15th overall. So as a fourth level Artificer, she is just going to get an ability score improvement. Well, we already have intelligence maxed out, so I think we're going to pick a feat. So the first feat she got was Acrobat, but let's see if we can do something better for flying a plane. Ooh, and already I think the one we are going to go with is Keen Mind. So she has a mind that can track time, direction, and detail with uncanny precision. Extremely useful when piloting a frickin' plane. Her intelligence is going to increase by one. Well, we already maxed that out, so I'm just going to put that one point into Wisdom. So now Wisdom will be a 15. That doesn't change its modifier at all, but it's 15 now. So with Keen Mind, Amelia always knows which way is north. She always knows the number of hours left before the next sunrise or sunset, and she can accurately recall anything she has seen or heard within the past month. So just knowing which way is north, always knowing how much daylight is left, that is extremely important for navigation. I think with a keen mind feat, it would have been pretty hard to get lost and not find Howard Island. Fifth level in Artificer, that is 16th overall, right? Yes. She's going to gain Alchemical Savant from her Alchemist subclass, and I love the ability Alchemical Savant. It's probably my favorite Artificer subclass ability. But anyway, when Amelia casts a spell using her Alchemist supplies, and that spell restores hit points, or it's a damage roll that deals acid, fire, necrotic, or poison damage, Amelia can just have a bonus to that roll equal to her intelligence modifier, or a plus 5. That is so cool. So a first level healing word from Amelia would normally heal 1d4 plus 5, but now it's 1d4 plus 10. That could be 14 hit points from a first level healing word. That is so good. Also, additional damage? Boom! Usually don't get bonuses to damage when you cast with spells. Like if she's using a fireball, that can be 3d6 plus 5 damage. I love that for her. That's so good. Sixth level in Alchemist, that is 17th overall. Oy. She is going to gain Tool Expertise. So her proficiency bonus is now doubled for any check she makes that uses her proficiency with a tool. And she has proficiency in a bunch of tools now. Thieves' tools, tinker's tools, alchemist supplies, herbalism kit, boom. Expertise in them. I love that for her. I really do. I really do. That's cool. That's great. Seventh level in Artificer, 18th overall, she's going to gain Flash of Genius, which is such a good ability, my god. So now when Amelia or another creature she can see within 30 feet of her makes an ability check or a saving throw, Amelia can use her reaction to add her intelligence modifier to that roll. So a plus 5 bonus, and she can use this a number of times equal to her intelligence modifier per long rest. So 5 times per long rest, she can just add a plus 5 to a saving throw. That is so good. That could definitely be the difference between death and survival. I love that. 8th level in Artificer, 19th overall, that is going to be another ability score improvement. Hey, guess what? Let's give her a feat. So she has Acrobat, she has Keen Mind, and I love that for her. But what else should she have? I think the last feat we're going to give her is one of my favorites, Mobile. So now her speed increases by 10 feet. Whenever she uses the dash action, difficult terrain doesn't cost her extra movement on that turn, and when Amelia makes a melee attack against a creature, she doesn't provoke opportunity attacks on that creature for the rest of the turn, whether she hits or not. So, I don't know how often she's going to be making those melee attacks. I just wanted her to be able to move. So now, if she is flying, if she reduces her weight with the adjust density, she's going to have a fly speed of 80 feet. That's so fast. And I don't know what difficult terrain there could be in the air, but if she dashes and moves 160 feet, she'll be able to ignore that difficult terrain. Maybe the dense fog. Well, that's not really difficult terrain. It's not going to slow you down. You just can't see shit. Anyway, I stand by my choice of making an Amelia that can just zip around the place. I mean, even when she's not flying, if she uses adjust density, she can have a movement speed of 50 feet. That's really fast. Just moving 50 feet on the ground, 80 feet in the sky. Ugh, Amelia, what can't you do? The answer? Literally nothing. Ninth level in Artificer, that is 20th overall. She gains another Artificer Specialist feature from the Alchemist subclass, and that is called Restorative Regents. So now whenever a creature drinks an experimental elixir that she created, the creature is going to gain temporary hit points equal to 2d6 plus her intelligence modifier. So 2d6 plus 5 every time they drink an experimental elixir. Also, Amelia can cast Lesser Restoration without expending a spell slot and without preparing the spell, provided she has her alchemist supplies and is using them as her spellcasting focus. And she can do that 5 times, number of times equal to her intelligence modifier per long rest. So boom, 5 uses of Lesser Restoration per long rest and temporary hit points. Amazing! So that is Amelia. So Amelia Earhart, the Queen of the Air. Background Hermit, race Human Variant. She is a level 1 Knowledge Domain Cleric, a level 9 Alchemist Artificer, and a level 10 Graviturgy Wizard. Her ending stats are 11 Strength, 14 Dexterity, 12 Constitution, 20 intelligence, 15 wisdom, and 12 charisma. For skill proficiencies, she has plus 14 to acrobatics, plus 17 to arcana, plus 8 to insight, plus 8 to medicine, plus 17 to nature, plus 7 to persuasion, and plus 11 to religion. Those are some high numbers, and I love that for her. Saving throws, she has plus 8 to wisdom and plus 7 to charisma saving throws. But remember, because of Flash of Genius, she can add a plus 5 to her saving throws. So even though she has a plus 0 to strength saving throws, if she uses adjust density to double her weight, she can have advantage on strength saving throws and add a 5. That's pretty cool. Plus 0 to strength, but can still mess people up. Languages, she has Common, Elvish, Dwarvish, and Orin, the language of air elementals. Proficiencies in Herbalism Kit, Thieves Tools, Tinker's Tools, and Alchemist Supplies. And for feats, she has Acrobat, Keen Mind, and Mobile. So my idea for the Queen of the Air, again, cannot get over that nickname, is what if her trip around the world didn't end in a crash? What if she disappeared from this world entirely? Imagine, if you will, Amelia Earhart flying around the world with her navigator, Noonan, when she comes across something very peculiar. A rift, a tear in reality, opening up before her. Noonan is terrified. He says, "Amelia, you have to turn away." I don't know what this voice is. Anyway, "Amelia, you have to turn away. What is that? It's terrifying." And Amelia says, "Noonan, my dear, we're going into the unknown." And she flies the Electra right into this rift, opening up into a world of phantasmagoric wonder, confronted by monsters aplenty. Other demonic aircraft trying to take her down. Sorry, I never know where I'm gonna go when I start these kind of fantastical wrap-ups of the character, but this one's truly ridiculous. Amelia Earhart went to a rift to hell, and now she's fighting demon aviators. You know, whatever. So anyway, she's fighting these demon aviators. Anytime she shoots one down, not using the Electra's guns, but just blasting lightning bolts from her hand as she, you know, strafes and destroys these demon planes, causing the demons inside them to fall, using violent attraction to make them take an additional 2d10 falling damage, crushing them against the weight of her power. But there are too many of them. She can't fly the plane and take all of them on herself. So she gives a boldness potion to Noonan so that he can now add a d4 to the number he rolls for every attack roll and saving throw he makes for the next minute, and gets 2d6 plus 5 temporary hit points. And she says, "Take the controls." And she jumps out of the plane, casting fly on herself, reducing her weight, bursting through the air at incredible speeds, lighting people up with fireball, dealing 8d6 plus 5 fire damage from Alchemical Savant. Noonan immediately goes down. He's a level 0. He's just a navigator, you know? He doesn't have any levels. Without even looking over her shoulder, Amelia casts a first level healing word, restoring 1d4 plus 10 hit points to Noonan. He's back up at full, flying the Electra around. And as a, you know, first level cleric, 9th level artificer, and 10th level wizard, she has access to 1/8 level spell slot. So actually, okay, hold on, listen to this. What if she doesn't use fly on herself? What if she takes a potion of flight to gain a flying speed of 10 feet for 10 minutes? Because with adjust density and mobile, she'll have a flying speed of 30 feet. So she's going to use an 8th level animate objects to animate her plane, as well as some of the planes of the demons in this hell realm that I've sent her to, apparently, and bring them to life, animating them to just cause havoc as she stands in a maelstrom of fire and lightning, planes whizzing around her, her moving at such incredible speeds through the air. Noonan just kind of looking on in abject horror and pride as Amelia takes down this demonic squadron with her incredibly powerful, powerful magic. And that's Amelia. Thank you so much for listening. Send in your character suggestions to me at fantasizemepod@gmail.com. Send in those character suggestions. Tell me who you want me to turn into a D&D character. I have a lot of fun going through those suggestions, and I have a small backlog, but it would be nice to get a few more names down. So let me know. Again, that email is fantasizemepod@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter and on Blue Sky, also at fantasizemepod. Follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/fantasizemepod. I stream video games and it is fun. Well, I have fun. Anyway, check out my new D&D class, the Anonymancer, which can call upon the power of space to teleport themselves and enemies, heal, attack ranged enemies with melee attacks. Very fun if multiclassing with, you know, paladins. You can do a smite from far away or a stunning strike from far away if you multiclass into monk. Sneak attack from far away. Well, I guess you could use a ranged weapon and get sneak attack. Anyway, be sure to tell your friends, tell your enemies, and tell your friends' enemies. Do it, I dare you. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll do this again soon. Bye.